Julio, how are you, my man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
Yeah, it's tough to beat, isn't it?
Oh, I love Grey Cup week.
It's a great week.
It is really a lot of fun.
And yep.
Little announcement today. The class of 2016 for the Canadian Football League coming out. Daryl Mookie Mitchell, excellent receiver. One of the best guys I've ever met. Mm-hmm. Like, genuine, polite guy all the time. Rodney Harding, hard-nosed defensive lineman for the Argos. And Doug Brown, a nose tackle for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and James West. I was actually surprised West isn't already in.
Yeah.
And I remember as a young guy in the 80s watching and Jones and West. Like, I was like, those guys look like they're animals.
Yeah.
And when you came into the league, you played in BC, but your first training camp was actually with the Bombers.
Yeah, no, I was. It was with the Bombers in 1990, and they actually they went on and won the Grey Cup that year. That was and that was like my first training camp was – you know, Greg Battle, James West, Tyrone Jones, all the great other defenders that they had, Rod Hill. And actually, you know, because I played quarterback and I was also there as a kicker, I used to throw the linebacker drill. So I was going over there throwing the ball all the time to those guys. So I was around them quite a bit. And James and Tyrone are obviously, and Greg Battle, for that matter, they were all great players, but they were a lot of fun to be around because they were always at each other telling stories. And then later on, you know, moving on to the Lions and having to play against them, that kind of impact not only did they have as players, but the kind of impact they had on the people who were getting ready to play against them. Like our offensive lineman, Ian Sinclair, who was one of the funniest guys I've ever been around. He was our center. He actually would practice his lines talking trash. And he would say, that, you know, that's a good one. You know, you got to remember that one. He'd write it down in his wrist. He'd tape his wrists, and he would write them down on his wristband so that he wouldn't forget them during the game because they were constantly at each other. But, you know, they were just such great character players. You know, not only were they fantastic football players, but they were just a lot of fun to be around.
Well, Walby was telling us how before big games, those two would literally punch each other in the face to get them psyched up.
And
which reminds, like Rob Ray and Matthew Barnaby, they used to put the boxing gloves on in Buffalo and go at it. Like, I'd literally go at it in the locker room. So it's not like it's unheard of before because, and West was ferocious.
Yes.
And Joe, like, they hit hard and hit to hurt back in that time.
And they were intimidating.
Yeah.
They were they were a pressure defense. And they came at you from every single angle. And they not only did they hit you hard, then they let you know about it. They'd stand over top of you and let you, you know, they get into your face. And it was intimidating. You know, you'd get those, you know, those stretches for any team where your defense is that good. And, you know, Edmonton is long been known for all those great teams. And it's intimidating when you walk in as a visiting player and that's what you got to face. Because those guys, as soon as they step on the field, whether it's pregame or they're just stretching, they're talking. They're yelling at you from across the way. They're telling you what they saw on film. And if you think you're going to get away with that, it was just a constant. You're thinking, can anyone talk that long? And they could.
Julio Caravata, former CFL quarterback and kicker. How many quarterback kickers were there in CFL?
Hey, listen, I was a Canadian quarterback, okay? Not only did I have to kick, I could mix Gatorade, I can tape ankles, I could do it all. I used to help Cato with the equipment, anything to keep a job.
Speaking of Cato and equipment, guys, I ran into Dwayne Mandruzic last night, who has been with the Eskimos since 1971. Yeah. 44 years. He'll be going for his 11th Grey Cup ring.
One for the toe.
11.
I know.
Grey Cup ring on Sunday if
well,
they win.
Well, what you know, you talk about the players and what makes the game great and all those great players that come through, but Dwayne and Cato and, you know, Bill Rochelt, who's the longtime trainer of the Lions, these guys have, you know, could you imagine the stories they could tell?
I talked to Dwayne for a good half an hour and I said, Why are we not, like, I'd write a book.
Yeah.
And I said, you don't have to throw anybody under the bus because you have so many
good stories anyway.
And guys would laugh anyway.
Yes. Like, yeah. And the thing is, too, is that those guys, they're, you know, they're the equipment managers and trainers, but they're also the guys that they're there all year long. They're not just equipment managers. Dwayne's a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
You know how many people he's probably talked off the ledge because everyone goes into that room and they empty their hearts and about how, you know, I'm not playing and I don't. And those guys, they hear it and they're able to kind of talk you down and change the subject so that you can calm down. That they're they're in every great organization. I think you find guys like that, that you look at the basis of what that they're made of. Those are the guys that are the foundation.
And somebody who's been around so long, he has a wealth of knowledge. Oh. And I talked to some of the young players, and I'm like, you're stupid if you don't listen to Dwayne, because he's seen it all. And he's seen it behind the scenes more than anybody else, from Hugh Campbell to Ron Lancaster to Farragelli, you know, now to Chris Jones, and just
so
very many different personalities. And he's had to deal with all of them.
I got great advice when I first started playing football, and it was, there's two people that you want to be very, very good to, the equipment manager and a trainer. Forget everybody else. Those are the two guys that you want to make sure you make happy, because they're the ones that can make your life a lot easier. And no truer words have been spoken, because it is very true. You talk to any athlete in any sport, and their relationship that they have with the trainer and equipment manager is usually one that is, you know, very, very good, because they know how to take care of you.
Julio Caravata joins me live on Radio Row. 103rd Grey Cup goes Sunday afternoon right here on TSN 1260, of course, across the TSN radio network and on television. We've all broken down the games.
Yeah.
Most people have the Eskimos as the favorite. I haven't met anybody. Even Jackie Beck admits that that Edmonton's a favorite, but he's still picking on it, which I understand. Was the Grey Cup last week in Edmonton? Or is that underselling Ottawa?
I think that might be underselling Ottawa a little bit. When you have teams that are, you know, putting together 14-4 records, then yeah, you know, it's tough to argue against that. But the Ottawa Red Blacks are a good football team. You know, they're a team that has completely transformed itself from last year, which has been a great story in itself to be able to do that and get yourself, into the championship game in year two of expansion. But I think this could be a very, very good football game. Ottawa, you look at statistically, you look across the board, they're good on defense. You know, everyone talks about Edmonton's defense, but Ottawa's defense can get after you. They got great receivers. They got a very good quarterback that's playing at a very high level. Both teams, you look at both sides, and you can make an argument for both teams. It's not that big a stretch for either team. But what it comes down to in these kinds of games is always is mistakes, turnovers. You saw what mistakes did last week to Calgary. I mean, those four turnovers killed them. Edmonton was clean. They didn't take penalties. They didn't turn the ball over. And when you can play like that, you're going to most of the time be successful. So to me, it's those kinds of things that are the difference makers in a game like this.
Give me one matchup, Edmonton offense versus an Ottawa defender, that you're really looking forward to. And then an Eskimo defender versus an Ottawa offense guy, whether it's the line of scrimmage, linebackers, okay, DBs.
I think that if you're on Edmonton's point of view, Mike Riley, when you look at the size advantage that they have on offense with their receivers in Bowman and Walker and Stafford, those kids are all big kids, that they've got a definite size advantage. So you're talking any one-on-one matchups that they have an advantage right off the gate, so out of the gate, because, you know, Mike throws such a good ball, a deep ball, that 50-50 ball is not 50-50. It's more 75-25, because those guys are so good in the air with their body positioning, going up and attacking the football. So I think that's a clear advantage for Edmonton. On the other side of the ball, I think that if I'm looking at a weakness that Edmonton has, and there's not, and it's not even a weakness, I think that when you sit down as a quarterback in meetings on day one, the coach is going to say, what we're going to do is we're attacking personnel. We want to go after one guy or two guys that we think that we have an advantage physically, that we're better at that position than they are. And I think that if you look at the Edmonton Eskimos, I can only find one that's not, like I said, it's not even a weakness, but if I'm going to go at them, I'm going to try to go at them up the middle. Cauchy Muwamba is the one guy that I think, you know, he used to have difficulty when he was with BC of that vertical stretch pass up the middle.
Okay.
He has trouble finding the ball in the air at times, but Edmonton is so strong everywhere else that it's hard to attack that spot because you don't have the time.
Yeah.
They're so good at getting after you with only three guys. And when you can do that in this league, you look at across the board Edmonton's defense and how big and athletic they are, from Dexter McCoyle to Patrick Watkins. These guys are all 6'4", 6'5". They're 2'10". The area and space that they cover is tremendous. They're great up front with their front people. Willie Jefferson getting after the quarterback. Sewell in the middle. I mean, he's one of the best defensive tackles in the Canadian Football League. In fact, I think that he's probably one of the top free agents in this league. If I'm starting a team, I'm going after him because he can dominate the game like Ted Laurent can dominate the game on the inside. So they're so good everywhere else. If you can't get the ball up the middle, I don't know where the weakness is.
Okay.
I don't think that there is one. They're that good across the board that they can hurt you at every single spot.
John Ojo, speaking of length, teams just don't throw the ball his way anymore. He shut down guys, had all the interceptions early on, and everyone's like, well, why is he getting any? Because they don't throw the ball at his side. Like,
yeah.
They're actually throwing more to Pat
Watkins.
That's
what I was going to say, and what's that say?
I know.
What's that say when you're picking Watkins over him? It's truly, and I think he deserves a ton of credit. Everyone, a lot of people give Chris Jones a lot of credit, but Ed Hervey deserves a lot of credit too. I mean, he's gone through some tough times there. He's turned that whole thing around. He's rebuilt that roster, and they've got themselves a hell of a football team. There is not much of a weakness anywhere.
Well, one area they're going to be lacking, and Dustin Nielsen just texted me, Deion Lacey's banged up, and Chris Jones says unlikely that Lacey's going to play on Sunday. He is being a demon for them on special teams, but also, like, he's that guy who you talked about James West earlier. Like, he's in your face, and he's vocal.
Right from the opening, the coin toss.
The minute he's not friendly on the field. And this team, that's their coach's attitude a bit. We had John Cornish on earlier where he says, I'm not sure Coach Jones really respects the opposition, but he prepares for the opposition.
Sure.
Right? And Lacey's that guy who just was out in your face. And that's a huge emotional loss for that team.
Well, we talk about your coach. I think Deion Lacey is a perfect example of he's a direct reflection of what his coach is like. If you were to put a helmet and shoulder pads on Chris Jones, that's what you would get.
Yeah.
You know, you get that at the coin toss. He's not shaking anybody's hands. No one is his friend. This is about, you know, winning a football game. I don't have to shake anybody's hand. And that's the kind of attitude that they have. So that is a big hit, though, because special teams, I think, is an area where, you know, that's the one spot. Chris Williams, we all know what he can do. He hasn't done much this year, but he is capable of hurting you on special teams. And if without Deion Lacey, I think that's something that you talk about attacking personnel. That's something that Ottawa, I think now, if they hear that news, is going to start thinking, okay, how do we attack that?
Because Lacey was the best guy downfield. He led the Eskimos in special teams tackles again. And when your gunner's not there, right, and even if the other guy's just a half a step, that's a big difference.
Well, you talk about the emotional leader part of that, right? Yep. He's leading the pack, right? He's the guy that everyone looks to. When he's down there making plays, everybody feeds off of his energy. And when you don't have him, now all of a sudden you're searching for something that you haven't had to search for before because he's always been leading the charge. So it could be an advantage for Ottawa there.
And that's something that I think at times people – they don't understand how important, like Deion Lacey, his emotion, him yapping, the guys who aren't yappers, they feed off of it.
Sure,
and that
do.
Gets them more hyped up, even though you don't see them. And I wonder, because you can't just fabricate it. You can't have another guy say, okay, I'm going to be Deion Lacey and be yapping at guys and chirping me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they got other Ian Sinclairs on the Eskimos who are going to write down their trash talk on their sleeve or not. But I think, like, Deion Lacey, special teams is all about emotion more than anything.
That's all it is.
And
it's the want and the desire to go down there. Right, because how do you explain some of the slowest guys in your team leading your team in special teams tackles? Because they want it more than you do, and that's what they're willing to do. They're willing to sacrifice and throw their body wherever they have to make a tackle. So that, you know, you make a really good point, because from an emotional standpoint, when he's the guy who's front and center, who's leading you, and he's not there, you know, it can have a real impact. You know, I think about, you know, a few years ago, remember Rob Murphy, the offensive lineman with the BC Lions?
Oh, yeah.
He was a nasty piece of work. He was like Chris Walby. He's a guy who, you know, he'd get into your face, and if you didn't like it, he would punch you.
Yeah.
It was a dirty game to him. Well, maybe the four other guys weren't like that, but they fed off of that.
Yes.
And it made them a little bit edgier, and they did everything because he was leading the way. And when he wasn't in there, they were different. So who knows what kind of impact that Deion Lacey is going to have not being in there.
One last one for Julio Caravata, analyst for the BC Lions. He'll be working on the national broadcast. Jeff Tedford, hearing a lot of rumblings. What are you hearing?
You know what? Jason, I'll be honest with you. It's one of those really weird things. I haven't heard anything, and I'm asking. I'm asking everybody that I know if they know, and this is the team that I cover. I can't get an answer. no, there's so much speculation as to, you know, you heard his name now being talked about with some of the college jobs that are available, and obviously with him and his history at the University of California, that, you know, I mean, he's a high-profile guy. He's going to get some attention. I don't know which way this one's going. I'd like to see him come back and get another opportunity to coach this team, because I think that he was on the right track, being away from the game for as long as he was, coming back and now getting an opportunity with a year under his belt. I think he can do some good things. I think he's got a good offensive mind. But it'll be interesting. I know that the meeting's happening today. You know, David Braley, the owner, is in town. Okay. Dennis Skulski, Wally Buono's here. The rumor had it that they were meeting this week to determine what direction they were going to be going.
Is Wally too hands-on as a GM?
Well, I think that when you have gone his entire career the way he has, he's always had absolute control. Mm-hmm. And when you have that kind of control, it's difficult to let it go.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this in his defense. When you're the general manager, and Ed Hervey and anybody else who's, you know, who's a general manager will say this. Listen, this is the product I'm giving you. I'm putting these players in your hands. So if you're not doing well, I want to know why.
Yeah.
Because I either need to replace it, or we need to discuss as to what our better options are. So he does that when things aren't going well. That's just, but I don't think that you would find in any sport the general manager not getting involved when the team is struggling, because they want to know why. And, you know, I know that and I will defend him in this case. I know people always say, well, Wally gets involved when he has to get involved. He doesn't want to get involved. That's why he walked away. He wants to coach the coach. But it just doesn't seem to have been worked out that way. So, again, what happens? If Jeff Tedford decides to leave, who's going to coach his team? Does Wally say, well, listen, I'll do it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Where are they going to go?
Yeah, there's not a lot of head coaches, I think, just out there waiting. Hey, maybe they bring Danny Barrett.
Well, here's what did you just say? What did you just say? Did you say Danny Barrett? Oh my, we were in a tough spot if that happens.
No, him and Wally don't get along.
Well, no,
that was more of a joke.
I think that the idea that his presence also may have an effect on somebody who may want that job.
Yeah,
right? He's a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
And he's like what it would be like if you're replacing Hugh Campbell. And Hugh Campbell's the president. Remember all those years when Ronnie was there and there was lots of talk that Hugh was coaching from the sidelines and all those kind of things? It's tough to replace a guy and have a guy looming in your organization that has that kind of reputation.
Julio, it was always great to catch
Thanks,
up with
buddy.
You, man. We'll see you around the Grey Cup festivities
hopefully,
the next few days.
Hopefully I see you and you're going to be standing up.
Yeah, well, always, buddy. Always, always upright.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, bro. Thanks very much.
You betcha. Julio Caravata joining us.